Welcome everybody on behalf of Attend and AdSet, and I'd like to welcome you to this webinar. Firstly, I'd like to start by paying my respects and acknowledge to the traditional custodians on the land on which we are meeting today, and also pay respects to our elders, the elders past and present. Today our presenter is Jim Spiralis, and he's going to discuss the various advanced features of the Sonoset Audio Taker, Note Taker, and how they are utilised. Jim will demonstrate live the software and the companion app on the mobile device. For many of us, we've kind of had a little bit of a taster into Sonoset, and I think this is going to be a wonderful follow-up for that session. This webinar will be live captioned by Bradley Reporting and will be recorded. The recording will be placed on AdSet after the recording has been captioned. This may take a week. The GoToWebinar platform is not as accessible as we would desire for screen reader users. And if you're a screen reader user and have any questions to ask or any comments, please email us at admin@adset.edu.au. All participants have been muted. This is to ensure as little background noise is received during the webinar. Jim will chat to us or be showing a Sonoset for around 50 minutes, and then we'll have a few minutes at the end for questions. But feel free throughout the presentation to enter your questions in the question pod, and I'll be able to ask Jim at the end. Also, if you do experience any technical difficulties during the webinar, you can email us at that email, which is admin@adset.edu.au. And now it's over to you, Jim. Thanks heaps.
Well, thank you, Darlene and Jane and anybody else who in the background who helped organise this session. I think I'll just quickly go to my next slide. And for those of you who don't know me, I do work with Sonoset, but I'm also have my own consultancy business. So I do a lot of work in Dragon because I partner with Voice Recognition Australia. I'm an Apple accessibility ambassador. So I've quite a diverse portfolio of assistive technologies that I provide training and advice around to schools, higher education and workplace settings and so on. But today, because we've got such a short time frame, let's focus on Sonoset. And as the title of the slide suggested, today, and Darlene said, we're going to look at, well, some of the features are advanced features, but some of the features I've decided to quickly highlight today are part of the standard suite of tools that it's worth students being aware of, and also, more importantly, when and how to utilise them at different stages of their learning. So I'm not sure how many people today are new to Audio Note Taker. I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes quickly orientating you to the workspace of Sonoset, and then we're going to go through the remainder of these bullet points. A couple of tips about pre-lecture attendance, what students can use in Audio Note Taker to take advantage of preparing for their lectures. The third dot point, which is around effectively reviewing spoken information, we're going to be, my apologies, I forgot to turn off my emails. Let me just quickly go and do that. Sorry, my apologies, I'll undo that. We're certainly going to look at how we can review spoken information. And one of the big ones in that third bullet point is to really impress upon the importance of letting your students know that the use of keyboard shortcuts will certainly make it much more efficient for them to review their notes. We'll talk about how to create study guides. Importantly, as the title of this presentation suggests, this tool is more than just a note-taking tool. I view it as almost a universal design Microsoft Office suite. So it can be used to generate written text, whether it's for doing short study guide in written form, or whether it's to start to draft a more comprehensive written assignment. because it is a universal design tool, we're also quickly going to point out how many students around the world are taking advantage of Audio Notetaker to create audiobooks from their PDF documents. And certainly for those students who find it very challenging with reading difficulties to process written text, the fact that the Audio Notetaker allows you to make compressed or summarised audiobooks is a really innovative feature which is worth sharing with your students. Importantly, we'll talk about lecture capture recordings and how students who miss a lecture or perhaps have to go access a TED Talk or YouTube video, how they can effectively process and comprehend that content using Audio Notetaker. And of course, finally, we're going to talk a bit about the new features built into the companion app, Solacent Recorder and Solacent Link. They are fairly new, only a few months, I think they've been out. So they're still quite raw, and I'm sure they're going to improve quite a lot, but they already have got some neat little features in them that we're going to point out to you today, which students could start to utilise for specific subjects, perhaps in some of the STEM areas. So we'll quickly recap with Audio Notetaker. This is a screenshot. I'm now on slide 4, and on the screenshot you can see here, this is a completed project that a student has compiled. So in the left-hand column are the slides from the PowerPoint presentation of the lecturer. In the centre column are some text that they've typed during the lecture. And in the right-hand column is the visualisation of the lecturer's voice. So their spoken information now is a visual layer representation. And during the lecture, the student annotated what they heard the lecturer say, and you can see from the right-hand side in the legends there with red and green and orange, they've colour-coded the spoken information. So all the red information is really, the students have classified that as being really important, and they've annotated as they listen to the lecturer. Now, in the next few examples when we do some live demonstration, this will become a bit clearer how all this works for those of you who really haven't come across Audio Notetaker before. But firstly, I do want to talk about the importance of Audio Notetaker in preparing for a lecture. It has some great way, so what I'll be doing for the remainder of this session is I'll be flicking back and forth from this PowerPoint to the software to demonstrate each of the tips that I'm showing on screen. So tip one, in preparing for a lecture, in many instances, students have access to the lecturer's presentation prior to lecture, perhaps in PDF format. And what they can do, which I'll quickly flick over to my software to show, is they can, we'll just hide the recording on the right-hand side actually for a moment, and the text. So you can actually hide each of the columns, but let's say the student has imported from the import feature, they've imported the slides of the lecture, and they've imported, and there they are on the left-hand column. One of the things a student can do prior to attending lecture is they can utilise on the right-hand side this feature called Extract Text All Slides. By clicking this tool, it will now extract in plain text format all the text that's embedded within those PowerPoint slides into a much more reader-friendly, print-friendly format. Students can choose to remain in Audio Notetaker and utilise the accessibility features of the text-to-speech functions. So up here, if we scroll, perhaps we'll keep it there on paradoxes because it's much shorter. I can now click on the speak feature.
And paradoxes to ponder. Causal loop. A future event is the cause of a past event, which is the cause of the future event.
Okay.
To grandfather paradox.
Okay, so I'll just click on that to stop the text-to-speech function. So students can stay within the workspace to use the text-to-speech function, build a bit of familiarity with and anticipation around the content, perhaps think about what they already know, some activate some prior knowledge in readiness for the lecture. Alternatively, students can also choose another option where if they prefer to have all this information, visual information and text as a Word document, they can select this option called copy all text and images. And now that's pasted to the computer clipboard. And then in Microsoft Word, I'm just going to open Microsoft Word. They can paste it in and have a Word document of all that content. And now you can see as we scroll back up, it has brought in all the text. Interestingly, it hasn't. It should bring in all the images as well. Now that's the first time it's failed me. So there you go. We're talking about that prior to the webinar. We have anxiety about technology failing us, but that should have copied across the text and images. So I do have a sample of that to show you what it looks like when it is completed. So if we go to So here's the result of what I tested yesterday or day before. So this is another option for students to then go through with the other technologies to read it or to add their own, type their own reflections underneath. So that's tip number one, something that's some students may find really useful to use. Moving along to the next slide, I'm now going to go to slide six. And this one's one where students can reflect upon the criteria for a particular subject, and they can change the highlighter criteria as they listen to a particular type of lecture. So if you have a look on the screenshot here on the right, this particular lecture recording is about research on gender and family issues. And the student has decided to reclassify all those colour codes. So they still have orange as important information, but they've decided to use the blue highlighter to highlight spoken information that will be critical to use in the essay. And then they've chosen more specific criteria around the topic, around gender and social impact, or gender and environmental impact and so on. So that is a really useful way for students to really start to prepare themselves to highlight information around subject-specific matter. So to do that, what students can do is, I'll just go back to Audio Note Taker. In the there is a button here for the, I'll just need to go and show the audio again. Now I've just lost my colour key. Oh, here we are. So you need to have clicked into the audio column, but up here we have the edit colour key option. And up here you can see there are some preset templates, or students can, if I just open up perhaps the one on, to show another example, I'm going to show you one on poetry that students in humanities have created. So what they've done with the poetry one is they've created colour codes for when they hear a poem and highlight the emphasis and the pause and where the metaphors are and the similes and the, any imagery or alliteration that the poet may have used in their writing. So this is a very, very specific code that's going to be used to process and annotate poetry readings. As I mentioned earlier in the session, students could actually go onto a YouTube station and hear a poetry reading, and Audio Note Taker will bring that, capture that reading into the program, and students can actually annotate the reading according to these criteria. So these criteria can also then be used in just a specific recording, or if a student would like to, they can actually go and resave it, and this particular poetry one can be saved as a template that will appear in the templates list along with them, lecture templates, meeting templates, and so forth. So it's a really useful tool for students to be very, very honed in and have a real purpose to what they're annotating and why with their subject matter. Okay. Just go back to the next thing I want to talk about is linked text. This came out with the latest update of Audio Notetaker some 6 months ago, 8 months ago perhaps. And you may not necessarily be aware of it because it actually is hidden, but it actually is working all the time. So what happens with linked text is that as the students are recording and annotating their the spoken information, if they happen to type a bit of text with it, it will link their typed text to the spoken information. So it's a bit like the synchronized capturing with the LiveScribe digital pens. So the beauty of that is that after the lecture, when students are at home reviewing their notes, and I'll just go back to, I'll just go back to the Audio Notetaker file now. You can see that You can see that they have written a few text notes in their recording. But if you'd like to look up where the fact versus fiction part of the recording is, by hovering over the text, actually I will click on it, you can see now over this section here, this part of the spoken information is what was said when the student typed fact as opposed to fiction. So it's a quick way of locating that precise point in the lecture where the lecturer spoke about fact and fiction. And if I click on plot hole, it will now indicate and show me here at the 3:32 mark, that's where the lecturer spoke about plot holes. Now, as I said, when students do record, this linking is done automatically. However, by default, it's hidden. So I thought I'd share that with you today because it's something that, unless you're aware of it, you wouldn't necessarily know that it's happening. So to be able to see the linked text, you do need to click on this little icon where there's a looks like a link of chain, and that will hide or show the linking. So that's really something that you need to be aware of to point out to your students. It's also worth noting that the linking automatically occurs with the app as well. So if students are typing a few keywords and recording on the app and then set it up, transfer it to the computer, the linking will be there as well. Okay. Oh, sorry, I went to the wrong one. I'm now going to move from slide 7 and move on to slide 8. Creating compilation study guides. One of the things that is perhaps a bit more of an advanced feature is that a lot of students will extract the key notes, the key points in their lecture, and save it as a summary. Perhaps one of the things they're not doing though is perhaps looking at combining their summaries from a number of lectures into the one space so they can make a compilation for that whole semester to go back and listen to. There are two ways to collect key information from a series of lectures. On the left-hand side, you'll see a screenshot where students may just collect information according to the importance through the colour code annotation. The other option on the right is where they might extract whole sections from a number of lectures and combine them where it might be specifically for an assignment. So that brings us back to the importance of highlighting for different reasons, but also when highlighting, that besides highlighting the spoken information of the lecturer, we can actually highlight complete sections using the section colours. So if I go back to so this one actually has one section colour, but if I click on this one and click on section, it now has highlighted that entire section as being really important. So I can extract this rather than through audio. I go to sections and I can extract just the important sections. There may be two or three of them in this recording, and I can extract it into a new project. If I did do that, up will come the extracted sections. The important thing for students to do here is to save this document or this project with the file and save as feature, and save it as perhaps time travel semester summary or something like that, so they know that it's actually a, I'll put some time travel semester summary. Because now, if they go to a future lecture, so let's pretend this is a the second lecture in the series, and they've decided that this section here is has got a lot of important information in red that I require, I can click on the extract button, and rather than just extract sections, I can extract audio and just choose the red. So every section that's red, I will then ensure up here I extract it into my time semester summary. So that, so that way I'm compiling bit by bit, week by week, my summaries from each lecture, and they'll all be conveniently compiled into the one document. Because once we're in this one document, this is where students can now go and export it and save it as iTunes album or an audio album or a video album, and that way they now have their summaries of in multimodal format to go back for the whole series of lectures. So that's something that a lot of students perhaps are not doing, but it's worth them being well aware of that that's a possibility for them, so that way they can have everything conveniently in the one location. Okay, the big one, tip number five. So we're on slide nine, generating written text. When students are compiling text, as I mentioned at the beginning of this webinar, it's really critical that they understand the keyboard shortcuts, because Audio Notetaker is designed to work with spoken information as if really efficiently. So when students are typing, and when the students are in the audio pane, they can use the space bar and the arrows to jump back and forth as they play back a recording. However, when they start to type, because the cursor has gone to the text column, they need to use some of these keyboard shortcuts on the left. So let's talk about that first, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about how text can be populated using something like Dragon. But first, let's talk about students who would manually type out the spoken information. So in this instance, when students are listening to information, and perhaps we'll go back down here, and they start to play it back, one of the first things...
Over a century ago, Einstein's theories of relativity brought about a major intellectual revolution.
Now, that was quite fast. So one of the things that prior to typing back, and that's one of the features of Audio Notetaker, is that the students can go in up the top in the toolbar and either increase or decrease the pace that the lecturer is speaking. So as it happens, this was actually increased from the default 1.0 to 1.2. but let's take it down to 0.8 and we'll go back and listen to that again.
Over a century ago, Einstein's theories of relativity brought...
Actually, I'm going to find that really hard to listen to. I'm going to take it up just one notch to 0.9.
Over a century ago, Einstein's theories of relativity brought about a major intellectual revolution in our understanding of space and time.
Okay. So that's at a pace that some students may be able to keep up with as they start to type out what Einstein was saying. At the moment, my cursor is in the audio column, so if I press my space bar, you can see that it will start to play back.
Over a century ago, Einstein's theories of relativity brought about a major intellectual revolution in our understanding of space and time.
So because my cursor is now in the text box, if I had pressed the space bar, it puts a space in between the text, but the space bar no longer controls pausing the audio. So that's where control space, you use the control key now to start to manage the spoken replaying of the spoken information. So control space will stop and start the playback, or control backslash or forward slash will jump it forward, or control backslash will go back so you can actually hear it a second or a third time to, as you process it while you're typing. So keyboard shortcuts are really critical. Knowing those is really critical. The other feature that students should switch on if they need support to type it out is to always turn on pause mode. So this is the feature up just up next to the playback speed. By turning on pause mode, what will now happen is when students play back the text,
the viability of time travel into the past is a little less certain.
And you can see that the playback is actually paused automatically without me touching the key, without me touching the controls. I can still be typing, but what it means is that it will pause to allow the students to type out what they want to hear. If they need to replay it, they could do the control back slash to go back and hear play it back again, and then finish typing out. So there, students need to practice that to become really fluent at it. It's not something that they would do during a lecture. It's something that they would do at home when they want to populate in greater detail the text. Okay. Now, a lot of the times I get inquiries about, well, how about transcribe, rather than students manually transcribing it by typing it out, how about if we use Dragon to scribe it for them? And yes, that is possible with Dragon. So I will demonstrate that with this particular passage. I have tested it with a number of voice profiles, and I have created just generic British voices for this one. So I can click up here with Scribe, open up a generic one. I've just named this one's Professor Conza, but I've chosen her because she's an Australian lecturer, but she speaks clearly like this person with a bit of a high-pitched voice. So what I can choose now is to scribe that spoken information to text, and there are a number of ways I can do it. I'm just going to choose that one section so that way you can see what appears on the screen. Okay. Okay, so that took about 15 seconds to transcribe that section. And you can see, because I had actually highlighted spoken information in different colours, like red and green and blue, when Dragon transcribed that into text, it actually matched it in the same colour. So this bit of red here is the red sentence that's been transcribed just here. So let's just check the accuracy for the first two sentences and see how it went.
over a century ago, Einstein's theories of relativity brought about a major intellectual revolution in our understanding of space and time.
I've got pause mode switched on, so we should turn that off.
And he showed that in a four-dimensional universe, the flow of time is affected by both velocity and gravity, and that time dilation allows for hassle-free one-way travel into the future.
Okay, so we'll stop it there. So you can see it's fairly accurate. Obviously, this person who spoke did speak in a very consistent pace and quite pronounced her vocabulary quite well. And we know that different lecturers have different voice prints and different accents, so the results be variable. One of the things that's going to be I'll talk about with transcription is when we get to lecture captures, how important it is that you have a good quality audio recording. So if a student used their computer or the companion app to record this particular lecture and annotated it and then tried to transcribe it with Dragon, they certainly will not get the results that we are seeing on the screen right now. For those of you who know, with Dragon, the better quality audio signal it hears, the much more accurate it will be in transcription. So my tip for this particular instance, that if you do have students who wish to transcribe the recording, what they should do is on the day certainly annotate the lecture and record it, and then wait for the next day or when it's on the learning management system, they would go up and import the MP3 file from the learning management system and replace their poor quality recording with a better quality recording. It will still retain the colour coding, but then when they go to Scribe, they'll get much better results with Dragon. So that's really critical. I know that when students try to get a better recording, sometimes they select the MP4 file. It has to be the MP3 audio file. The MP4 audio layer is not enough quality level for Dragon to accurately transcribe it. And I think in many cases it won't actually transcribe it because it's not high enough quality. Okay. Now I might move on because I'm mindful of time. I'll just quickly come in about Dragon. The other option or strategy that students could use is once they've annotated all their information, is they go and play back the important parts, say the parts in red, and because they've got pause mode switched on, the student could actually open up Dragon and dictate themselves what they hear. So they do a bit of that echo reading method where they hear it and then turn on the microphone and repeat what they heard and dictate directly into the text box next to that audio. So that certainly is a very viable option for students to generate the text they need from that recording. Okay. Now, talking about students with the audio, using the audio feature, when they do review their notes, one thing I like, and why I mentioned it's a universal Microsoft Office tool, is that it has the ability for students to add their own information. It's not just a capturing tool. So after the lecture, the students can record, turn on the microphone, and just record their reflections, understandings, or even perhaps compose some bullet points or draft sentences for their assignment in the audio section. So afterwards they can play those back and type them out. So it's a really good way of addressing working memory, because for some students who have to retain a certain amount of information for that 5 to 8 seconds and then they start to type it out, their quality of writing, there'll be an impact on that because they might forget some of the key words they should be using and the writing process gets drawn out and becomes quite lengthy. Okay. So certainly voice notes are a great tool. I think voice alerts are really important when it comes to helping working memory, and that's why I always talk about tools like Inspiration, because of those mind mapping. Inspiration has voice notes capabilities. Read and Write has voice note capabilities in Word, and so do a few other programs. So certainly that's available in Audio Note Taker, and that's what I think that helps make it more of a Microsoft Office tool. The other beauty about voice notes is that if students do record their reflections in that audio pane, when they extract the audio to make little study guides, they could extract those reflections, because when they revise the lecturer's voice, they'll hear their own reflections over and over again, and that will just help with learning retention and helping them to draw upon those understandings that they develop when they have to demonstrate what they've learned. Okay, I've moved to slide 11 and tip number 7, creating audiobooks from text. So as I demonstrated at the beginning of the session, when the student receives the PowerPoint or PDF version of a presentation PowerPoint, they can extract the text and use the text-to-speech to read it or export it to Word. Now, that's one way. This screenshot you see is the first step of perhaps making an audiobook a little bit differently. What we can do is, and I'll just quickly go back to Audio Note Taker again, and I'm going to import or create a new project, and I'm going to bring in a PDF document. Where's the PDF document gone? I can just go back for a moment. Okay, just where is it? Okay, I'm having difficulty finding the PDF document. So we'll just open any PDF document. What's this global? Oh, I know why. I've just realised what I've done. Let's go to a new project and we'll import. So I'm going to import, even though it's a PDF document, I'll import slides. And anyway, so here's one on salinity and water quality. So it's from the Department of Environment. So here we have a three or four page PDF document. So the first step is to extract all the text from the slides. And you can see now here we have, I'll just make that a bit bigger for you. You can see all the text has been extracted from the document. The next thing we can do is we can actually extract the text.
Contained in ground.
I can send all the speech to the audio pane. So I'll just do the first, I should do all of it actually. So you can see what is now created is that audio, a visual layer of the text. So if I press the play button, you'll be able to hear this.
November 2012 salinity and water quality. Salinity is a measure of the content of salts in soil or water.
So the reason we can, I want to show you this is that for some students, rather than create text summaries of reading material, they might like to make audiobook summaries. So much like with lecture recording annotation, they can go and colour code the important parts of the information in a particular colour. So they're doing their summaries or highlights. And once they've done that, they can then choose to extract just the audio and create an audio book. But the audio book is not the entire book. It's just the summary information. So that's a very creative way of using the or program to create summarized audio books. Okay, working with video, if we're now on slide 12, and I'm just mindful how we're going for, how we're going for time, Darlene. I'm sort of trying to track this. We've got about 10 minutes, is that right? I think.
Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button. Yes, you've got about 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Darlene. Okay. So what I'd like to talk about just quickly now is the ability to capture lectures that you've missed. This screenshot shows a TED Talk, but the same principle applies with lectures that are captured on the lecture capture system, whether it's Echo 365 or it's whatever system you use at the, on your campus. So when a student has missed a lecture, they certainly could go into a new project. They could go and import the slides. So let's say we're... I've got a lecture here from LA University. I could open that up. I could bring in the PowerPoint, but when I go to import the audio, which I need to find, what will happen is the audio will all come into the one section with that first slide, but all of that audio is the entire lecture. So it'd just be quite overwhelming for a student to go through that and find where the transition points are to the next slide. You could probably guess a few of them, where there's big gaps of silence here. So perhaps right there, if I press the return key, that might be where, you know, it goes to slide two. But that's not going to be a way that students are going to work with this program. So what would be a much more efficient way to do it is for students to open, download the MP4 version of the lecture. So we'll just go into find the MP4 version. Okay, let's pretend it's actually a different lecture. What I'll do is I'll close that. And I'll go and open another one instead. Just give me a moment. So let's say we missed this lecture called Time Traveler for Beginners, which you saw at the beginning. So there are the slides. I might just actually hide the text for a moment. And I'm going to just put that on half the screen, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to open the lecture capture recording. So we'll just open that with Media Player, which is what your students would probably do on their computer back at home. Now,
your first lecture in module 1.21, Relativity and Time Travel.
So here now you can see there's the lecture capture video playing. And so what students could do is they don't need to capture the visuals because they have brought in the PowerPoint slides. They'll change the recording to record from speakers only. And that way, when they do press record, as you can see, it's recording. It's not picking up my voice. It's only going to pick up the computer speakers. I press the play button.
The question, is time travel possible, has occupied some of the greatest minds of our time, from renowned scientists such as Einstein and Stephen Hawking.
And so when it goes to the next slide...
are actually closely linked. You'll notice that our timeline kicks off around the turn of the last century.
Okay, so I'll just stop there. So that's going to be a much better way of students taking notes from lectures they've missed, because rather than import a recording and try and grapple with the entire content, they should treat it as if they were, it's the first time they heard it and they were present in the lecture. They should actually have it come in as they hear it and annotate it as they hear it for the first time. So replicate the habits they'd use or when they were actually in the lecture theatre itself. So that's really important to do. Again, because this is the MP4 version, this quality audio won't be high enough quality to transcribe, but after they've done their annotations, the student could save this document and then go to the audio replace tool and replace it with the MP3 version. And then once the MP3 version has come in, the better quality audio can be transcribed. Okay. Now, just quickly, we need to go back to... The last feature I do want to talk about is the new Scribble feature in the app. So on your screen, we're on slide 13, and we're looking at tip number 9. So this is a relatively new feature. So up until this point, students have been able to use their iPhone, Android devices, iPads, and they could take photos of PowerPoint slides or perhaps some sort of chart or even a physical object that might be in a tutorial or lecture that they're attending. They now have the ability to do these three things if they choose to add an image. They could swipe on across and have a blank screen, and they could actually start to draw any one of those equations that you can see on the left-hand side. You'd probably need a fairly fine stylus type pen to get such fine lines with it. Alternatively, in the middle picture, you can see a photo taken of a pair of lungs, and while the lecturer is talking about different parts of the lung, the student is colour coding in red and blue the oxygenated and the deoxygenated blood and where that travels through the system. And then the other feature that you can utilise is the tagging feature. So tagging is a bit like labelling, where you can just tap anywhere in the picture and it will start to number and put bullet points. So that last feature of tagging, I think that's really a useful one. Out of all three, that's the one that I anticipate students would find really, really useful for those types of lectures where something's been explained in a procedure. So, you know, first this happens, then this, and then this final step. So certainly in the sciences, I can see a lot of use with the tagging of with those numbers. So just to show you how that works, I'm going to now swipe across to my iPad and show you the Scribble feature just quickly because I'm mindful of our time we have. So let's just make sure we have... Now I'll just go to swipe across and I'll just connect to my iPad. Okay. And where are we? Okay, I've just lost my... Okay, I'm just trying to get my iPad back. Is it hiding underneath? No. Okay, I'm just going to quit Reflector for a moment and restart it. That's the program I'm actually using to wirelessly mirror my iPad onto the device, onto the screen. And we'll just try again. This looks promising. Okay, that's better. And I'll just make that full screen so we can see it. So I'm just going to open the app, the Sonoscent Recorder app, and I'm just going to tap on record and show you some of the ways it's used. So you can see it's recording up on the bar there, but I can go across, I can take a photo, but just to make this simple, I'm going to tap and add an image to show you how that works, and we'll just pop in that one for now. And you can see now I have an image there in front of me, and I've got these annotation tools which I can use to show the oxygenated or deoxygenated blood. However, the one that I think is really useful is the numbering one. So I've tapped on the number icon. I'm going to tap on the screen near the trachea, and you can see now it's placed a number one there, and I can type in trachea and done. So now that number one has got trachea attached to it. I can tap a bit further down and a number two will appear, and I can put in here the bronchia. Okay, we'll just keep going. And so on. So what happens, a bit like the audio linking, that text is now linked to the recording. Okay, so what does that mean when you, what does it look like when you transfer it back to the software? So we'll just stop recording for now, and I'll flick back to the software to show you. So here is the finished product. So what happened, as I numbered them, I wrote what they were, but again, as I click on each one, you can see that the linking occurs. So when I go to point six to talk about the bronchiole, there's the spoken information that the lecturer said about the bronchiole at the time. So this certainly is, it's still new, but I can see a lot of benefits with the Scribble app in some STEM subjects. Okay. Now the final thing, I guess we probably need to start to wrap up, is we probably need to go to some questions shortly. Just to go quickly back to here, if we have any questions, now is probably going to be the time that we do that, Darlene. Just to say that I will be at Pathways this year, so if you're coming along, it'd be great to see you there. The other thing to mention, for those of you who may be aware, who are in the early days, a couple of years ago, we started a Sonocent Connect network, where you accessibility advisors had a complimentary copy of Audio Note Taker, so they could use it to show students and become familiar with it. So that's going to continue. But as your license is a subscription license, it may be due for renewal coming up later this year or early next year. If it does, please contact me on either of those email addresses, because we've now set up an Australian loan license that I manage from Australia, and I can reallocate you another license for 12 months at a time. So keep that in mind when yours. If you do have a copy and it expires, please contact me and we can get you back on board straight away. So I'll throw back to you now, Darlene, see if you have any questions that I need to reply to.
Great. Thank you, Jim. That's fantastic. Just a question around, are the audiobooks that are created in DAISY or EPUB format? Do you know?
So the audio books can be exported as MP3 playlists.
Right, so I think the question was more around if, because I suppose by being put into DAISY, there can be navigation, tool in that, but that's not available?
No, so I think what they'll do is the students could, once they've extracted the text, well, that text can then probably be copied and pasted out into making it into a DAISY format, I guess.
Yeah. Another question was in regards to the costs for Sonocent.
Okay, so it's on a subscription basis and it incrementally reduces with the number of licences. So anything below 25 licences is viewed as a single licence. So I think that's about $99 US. I'm trying to convert that because that's how I've got my listing, but it's about $120. But then once a campus buys 25 licences, it reduces, I think, down by about $30 a licence. That's quite a big saving. And then if you go to 50 or 100 licences, it reduces again. So by the time you get, say, 200 licences, it goes down to about $50 a student instead of the original $120 a student. So that's a sliding scale. So I can give a I can send, anyway, if I'd like to email me, I can send them the precise figures, and or I can send you actually an interactive calculator PDF document that Solicit had created for universities, and you just type in how many licenses you want, and you click a button, and it calculates it all for you. Because it works, it lets you know that sometimes instead of buying 41 licenses, it's cheaper to buy 50, because when you go to the 50 point, it drops quite significantly. Yeah.
Yep. Brilliant. Well, that's all the questions I've got that we've received so far, unless anybody else wants to write in the question pod. So thank you, Jim. It was great to kind of get a more in-depth idea of how the program works, and also seeing the new things that are coming onto Sonoset, which is great. Scribble board's wonderful, and I can't believe that after, you know, 3 or 4 trials, it's worked every time. That the time that we're live, it doesn't work. So the usual way. So yeah, it doesn't look like any more questions have come through. So I'll take this opportunity to say thank you, Jim, and I look forward to catching up with you at Pathways, and I'm sure others will be visiting you and having conversations with how they can move forward with the audio note taker. So okay, thank you, and thank you everybody for joining us today. We look forward to you joining us at our next webinar, which is next week, which will be a panel discussion around employment, graduate careers for students with disabilities. All your questions answered. I look forward to that, and see you all later. Thank you.